to see you here tonight, and I appreciate you coming out for our Bible study. Crowd trickled in slowly. I was wondering for a while if anybody's going to be here, but it's good to see you here. Glad to have some folks visiting with us tonight, and appreciate those who have tuned in over the internet. I would remind you that hopefully tomorrow night we'll be on the air from Kentucky. It's Grace Bible Study, JustinTV/ Grace Bible Study, and so if you can tune us in, we'd love to have you. And we had trouble with the internet the first week, and we'll just have to see how it does this week. And we're trying to get that corrected. So hopefully it'll be up and running tomorrow night. All right. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to continue our study in Timothy. We've been going through Timothy for several weeks now. And we're doing, instead of a verse-by-verse study, more of a topical study. And last week we talked about servants and what Paul has to say about servants in his epistles, and compared the literal physical servant to and the characteristics of that to the characteristics of the servants of Christ, are the servants of God who are us in this dispensation. So we'll start in reading in verse 1, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Where he says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." And those are the verses we covered last week. Now, verse 3, Paul says, "If any man teach otherwise," in other words, other than what he's just stated there about these things that came before in chapters 5 and 6, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." So, verses 3 through 5, really it's a continuation there, one sentence, if you look at it. And what he's talking about there are, in other words, in verse 3 he says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words," and then he says, "even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's a very important statement because, you know, today we have our Bibles and they are written, many of them have what people call the red letters. And people have a tendency to put more importance upon the red letters than they do others. And the reason for that is because the red letters supposedly are the words of Christ. And obviously the words of Christ are of extreme importance. That's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Book of Acts, transitional book, and then I've got on the board up here the one we use here, Paul's epistles, 13 epistles. And those are the words of the Lord Jesus given to us through the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, the bottom line in all of it is, folks, is the Word of God, it is all the words of Jesus Christ. It's all the Word of God, and none are more the Word of God than others are. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." So, the entire Bible, every word of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, it was God breathed. It was God spoken. Inspiration has to do with the source. It came from God. It was given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable, notice, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, the purpose of the Word of God is to perfect us, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, and that word perfect there, it doesn't have to do with sinless perfection. It has to do with being perfect in the sense of being complete. All that we need to function for Christ's sake is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. That is, everything he needs, he's furnished unto all good works. So, all the Bible is the Word of God. Now, from time to time, you'll have people call certain Scriptures into question. And over my lifetime, what I've noticed is that very few times will the authority of Scripture be questioned from what we call Bible believers apart from Paul's doctrine. Now, people will question that. And yet, Paul's writings are the Word of God. Every word was given by inspiration of God, as Hebrews through Revelation, same thing. Now, if you go back there to 1 Timothy chapter 6 then, I want us to notice something. He says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Wholesome words are words that make you whole. They're what you need to be, as we read about over there, the man thoroughly furnished. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul's referring to there, are the words given through him. The things that he's already written. And he says, which is according to, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, doctrine in Paul's epistles is something that is spoken of quite frequently. For example, we just read over there, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. So the first purpose of the Word of God is for doctrine. Doctrine has to do with simply teaching. It has to do with a body of truth. And all Scripture is doctrine because all Scripture teaches us something. And so he says, there is a doctrine which is according to godliness. He makes a similar statement over in Titus chapter 1. Look in Titus chapter 1. In Titus 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after what? Godliness. To acknowledge the truth is to be godly. And I know that we attach a lot of things to being godly, which may be true, but first and foremost is the acknowledging of the truth. Believing the Bible means what it says. Where it says it, to whom it says it. The acknowledging of the truth, he says, is after godliness. Now, in relation to this doctrine that he mentions over there, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, I want us to consider doctrine as we see it outlined throughout the New Testament books. The first thing I want you to notice is the doctrine of Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth at the age of about 30 years old. He ministry. He called out 12 men and he began to teach them throughout his ministry. And he was teaching them, he was preparing them to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Christ himself preached. Look back in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That is the good news of the kingdom. Well, what was that good news? Well, the king had come. But Israel rejected their king. But Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, were both preaching the gospel of the kingdom when he sent forth the 12. Over in Matthew chapter 10. Look over there in Matthew 10. Verse 7. He said, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 24, he told the disciples, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. So we have the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. It's committed to the 12. They are sent to Israel. Look in verse 5 there, Matthew 10, 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. So they were to go to Israel. That's who they were sent to. They were practicing the law according to Matthew chapter 23 and so forth. So the fact is that Jesus Christ has doctrine. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. It's called the doctrine of Christ. In Matthew 7. Start there in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto thee them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, whose sayings were the sayings of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What was it founded upon? The teachings of Christ. That's what it says up there. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, for great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, what he just said there wouldn't seem that astonishing, would it? And yet, you've got to remember, he's not just talking about the house that's built upon the rock. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? There were those that were duplicating the work of Christ, counterfeiting the work of Christ. But he says, I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And then he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You see, there was the hearing and there was the doing. There were those that heard the teachings of Christ. They were doing what they were doing for self-gain, the teaching and so forth. And he says, you've got to have to build your house upon a rock. It came to pass when he, in verse 28, he says, he ended these sayings, the people were astonished as his doctrine. Notice, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And when you read that, you kind of want to say, well, duh, you know, this is the Son of God. Obviously, he's teaching them as one that had authority. He was the authority. Now, in their minds, he may not have been, but his teaching was authoritative. It was the doctrine. It was his doctrine, it says. They were astonished at his doctrine. Look over in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew 22... In Matthew 22, in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. I tell you what, let's back up to get the context of this. Back up in verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Well, no wonder she had seven husbands. It's amazing she lived that long. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. In other words, the Sadducees had this... They were trying to trick him, is what they were trying to do, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did. And so they said, how can this be? How can there be a resurrection? I mean, here's some woman that had seven husbands. Whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? He said, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. What was it? It was his teachings about the resurrection. Look over in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1. In Mark 1. In verse 21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. You see, the scribes, they were teachers of the law, and they would simply read the law, and it was very it did not seem authoritative to them like the teachings of Christ did. And we know that they had added to the law and so forth. Look over in Mark chapter 11. One more verse here. In relation to this, that is. Mark 11. Verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? You know, for many years I read that verse, and I'm thinking, why are they selling doves in the synagogue or in the temple? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, what you find out is that the doves were offerings. They were sacrifices. And they were selling them. They were money makers, because the people came from many miles away to celebrate the feast days and sacrificial days and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus Christ rebuked them for that. When you get down to verse 18, it says, The scribes and chief priests heard it, sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. You see, they became concerned because the doctrine of Christ was having an effect on the people that were hearing them, turning them away from the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, over in John chapter 7, there's a couple verses over there that make it clear that Jesus Christ is not, in effect, in his own thing. In other words, Jesus Christ came to earth, took upon the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, God manifest in the flesh. But notice what he says about his doctrine in John chapter 7. This is very significant. In John 7, verse 15, And the Jews marvel, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? In other words, Jesus Christ is saying, in effect, listen, you had the law of Moses, you didn't keep that. Now you are accusing me, and if any man will do his will, the will of the Father, he said, My doctrine is not mine, but him, his that sent me. Well, then I want to ask you something. Did God Almighty send forth the Apostle Paul? Yes, he did. Acts chapter 26. He said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles and kings in Israel. I send them far hence into the Gentiles. Well, then, his doctrine was, you see, everybody throughout here is teaching what God gave them to teach, is teaching the doctrine of God. But you have over here the doctrine of Christ. Now, that doctrine was 100% true for those that he spoke it to during his lifetime. And yet he spoke many things to those people that you and I do not put into practice today. We'll say, well, why not? Well, because he spoke them to a specific people for a specific time for a specific ministry. Like he told the 12 to go out, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Well, he told Paul just the opposite. Paul said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Think about this. Paul gets saved, and he hears what Christ said. Somebody tells him what Christ said in Matthew chapter 10. It wouldn't fit. It's contrary to what Christ told him from heaven. So the point is that the doctrine of Christ was very specific to who he was teaching it to at the time he taught it. Just a couple of examples of that. Look back in Matthew 6 real quick. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but I just want you to notice some things that Christ taught that were very specific to that kingdom, that coming kingdom, that kingdom of heaven that was going to be established. Matthew 6:19. He said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Well, you know, there's people today that they say they believe they're following the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they have a saving account. They have 401k. They've got bank accounts. Well, Christ said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. The interesting thing about that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says that the parents are to lay up for the children. So it's contradictory in that sense, but it's not contradictory. It's just different information for different people. Down in verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what are yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Well, what did Paul say over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? He said, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. So you've got the doctrine of Christ over here saying one thing. You got the doctrine given through the Apostle Paul saying something different. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Well, Paul prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh to depart him, and God said, I'm not going to answer it, but my grace is sufficient. Just some verses like that, folks, that people many times overlook. And we have to understand that this is the Word of God. Every word of God is inspired. But those words are not written to you and I. Those written to the 12, to the nation Israel, for a specific purpose and a ministry they were to carry out, to go into all the world and preach that gospel to every creature. So they crucify Christ. He is put in a tomb. He raised again the third day. And after spending 40 days with the disciples, they begin their ministry. They ask him in Acts 1, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So they have the... by the way, before we get over to that, there's something I need to mention. Look in Matthew 16 real quick. Matthew 16. Because it's important to understand that when Christ is preaching the doctrine of God, there is opposing doctrine. And really we ought to read all this, but for time's sake I'm not going to do that. In Matthew 16, verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And so he goes through there and talks about the signs and so forth. When you get down to verse 12, it says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So there was that leaven of false doctrine. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so you had the Pharisees' doctrine, the Sadducees' doctrine, which was contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Back in Matthew 15, down in verse 9, the Bible says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now that verse right there, I mean, you just need to stop and think about that on a continual basis, because That is what is happening in many, in much of religion today. The doctrine of men is being substituted for the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine given through the Apostle Paul. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, the Pharisees were teaching the doctrines of men, or the commandments. They had added to them, and they were teaching as though it was doctrine, and it was not. It was simply their teachings. Now, go over to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, so there's the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of Jesus Christ that he taught. There's the doctrine of the Pharisees that was contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Then there's the doctrine of the apostles in the early church over there in Acts, the church at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So there were those that heard, they received, they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's quite a revival, wasn't it? 3,000 people believed and were added to the group there. Now notice, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now notice the doctrine. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, what I just read, folks, there in verse 45 is as much doctrine as verse 38 when he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Yet you've got a whole multitude of people today that take their doctrine from Acts chapter 2 when it comes to salvation and tell people you've got to repent and be baptized for remission of sins. But 8 verses later, it says they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Why did they do that? Because they were commanded to through the apostles' doctrine. That, you see, that's why it's so important that we differentiate between the doctrine for those Israelites, for the 12, versus the doctrine for the church and body of Christ. I don't know, I won't say nobody does. Over the years, there have been groups that sold their possessions and goods and brought them and laid them down, and they all ended up in failure. I mean, the most notable is back there years ago when Jim Jones took that group over there to Guyana or wherever it was, and they preyed on those richer people, and he took their money and ended up leading them into mass suicide. There have been many communes started that try to put this into practice. Listen, folks, this won't work today. Paul said if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. But this doctrine was true for that time. That's why we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. We understand that there was doctrine for this particular ministry of the 12. And when Paul gets saved, much of that changes. Look over in chapter 5, Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, there's the situation of Ananias and Sapphira early in the chapter there. And in verse 26, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, that they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. What was filling Jerusalem? It was their doctrine. It was the apostles' doctrine. Where did they receive it? From the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taught them for 3 years. He's crucified, spends 40 more days teaching them, and they're teaching exactly what He taught them to teach. And there are those that say, well, when they received the Holy Ghost, they started teaching something different. Well, come on. He said the Holy Ghost shall lead you into all truth. But He was teaching them throughout that time. The Holy Ghost simply empowered them to do that which He had previously instructed, and they followed His instruction. Now, that apostles' doctrine included the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, as in Acts 3:18. It included, as we mentioned this morning, the death, burial, and resurrection, that God had raised Him from the dead. It also included the fact that Jesus Christ, that salvation was through faith in His name, that is, believing that He was the Messiah. And it also included the manner of life, selling what you have, having all things common, a communal lifestyle. Why was that? Because in Acts 3:19, Peter said, repent and be converted, your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When they saw Jesus ascend into heaven, right before He ascended into heaven, they said, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And they were told, why stand you gazing up? As you see Him go away, He's going to come in like manner. So they were expecting Him to return. They wouldn't need their stuff. They wouldn't need their money. They were expecting Israel to bring about the salvation of the world through the ministry given to them. And they wouldn't need what they had. So they were to sell what they had. That was doctrine. That was the apostles' doctrine. That doctrine won't work today. It won't fit today. Because we are in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, go over to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13... there's a blind man there in Acts chapter 13. Well, let's just begin in verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed in Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now this is an amazing account right here, because, I mean, there's a message right there within itself. This man represents Israel blinded. There was a resistance to Paul's message by who originally? The Jews. There's a passage over in Acts chapter 21, I believe, or 22, where he's preaching to Jews. And they gave him ear until he said God had sent him to the Gentiles. There was a resistance by the Jews. According to Romans chapter 11, they've been blinded for a season. But regardless of that, let's go on and read verse 11. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of who? The Lord. Well, who was teaching there? The Apostle Paul. Verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to and it goes on down through there. Now, when you get down to verse 38, you see the difference in what Paul is preaching versus what had been preached. He says, "Be it known to you, therefore, men and brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses." So we see a difference in the teaching. And we looked over those things this morning. I'm not going to go back through all of that. Look over in 1 Timothy again, chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy 1. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine than that which Paul had taught Timothy. Look in verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. So you see the emphasis upon doctrine. Go over to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 13, Paul says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." The form of sound words, where they come from, which thou hast heard of me. Look back in verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Well, where did the testimony of the Lord come from? It came through the Apostle Paul, as God spoke through him. Chapter 2, verse 2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men." Chapter 2, verse 7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Folks, Paul is not on some kind of ego trip here. What he is, he understands his apostleship to the Gentiles. He's fixing to be put to death here in 2 Timothy, this last letter that he ever writes, and he's encouraging Timothy to stand true to the doctrine. Why? Because over in chapter 4, notice what he says there in verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." So, over and over again, it's doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. All that means, folks, is those are the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ while He was on earth to the 12, to Israel, the teachings of the 12 in relation to His death, burial, and resurrection, water baptism, repentance, looking forward to the second coming, the teachings of the Apostle Paul in relation to the church, the body of Christ, salvation, the dispensation, the grace of God. And so Paul's teachings are the wholesome words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to chapter 3, 1 Timothy 6 again. Verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness," notice what he says about him, "he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, wherewith cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." You see, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. No doubt about that. But in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What does it mean to rightly divide the word of truth? That is to distinguish the doctrine. people aren't following. I don't care what people say. They might be picking out verses, but people are not following the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People might pick out certain verses over here, but they are not following the doctrine of Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The teachings there. What can we follow today? We can follow the teachings of our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And many are not following that. That's true. And then you got the doctrine over there of Hebrews through Revelation, which really matches the doctrine back here in preparation for the 70th week of Daniel and the coming Christ. Doctrine is very important, folks. I remember years ago, we had a Bible conference here, and when we first came to Grace Church, and I never will forget the man up in the pulpit. There had been some teaching going on that week about some dispensational truth and so forth, and he got up to preach, and he said, "Well," he said, "I've heard a lot of stuff here this week," but he said, "I don't believe in preaching doctrine. I just believe in teaching Jesus." Well, you can't teach Jesus without teaching doctrine, because you're either going to have to teach him according to his teachings here, 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 or over there. And they don't always match up, because there's information that's for different people at different times. All right. Let's close in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fellowship we can have around it. And Father, we thank you for the time we've had here tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. And we pray for those that were listening over the internet. And as the messages go out on the internet and other ways, we pray that they would be a blessing to people, that people might be established in the word and strengthened by it. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.